A spiritual director gathered a large group in a circle and told them to picture God in the center of the circle. The director invited them to move forward toward God. The group moved forward until they were shoulder to shoulder with each other. The director said, "You get closer to God when you get closer to one another." Jesus had been with the disciples for almost 3 years, teaching and modeling how to live and love. Jesus taught them how to invite outsiders into community, welcome the excluded, and serve. The disciples watched as Jesus forgave sins, healed, transformed, and renewed males and females, Jews and Greeks, rich and poor, the elite and the outcast. Jesus modeled radical hospitality, reaching across every barrier to every person. Jesus enjoyed meals with all sorts of people. Jesus was humble, approachable, and taught about humility. In light of all of this, how do you think Jesus felt when the disciples argued about which one of them was the greatest? Jesus said, "Anyone who wants to be first must take last place and be servant of everyone else." Then Jesus put a little child among them. Taking the child in his arms, Jesus said to them, "Anyone who welcomes a little child like this one on my behalf welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes my Father who sent me." In those days, a child was considered the lowest of the low, with nothing to offer adults. Anyone of importance would never waste their time with a child. Yet Jesus hugged the child and urged the disciples to welcome children. But the disciples still don't get it. They are seduced by prestige, craving approval, desiring success, eager to elevate themselves in any way they can above others. They are frustrated that they were unable to heal someone like Jesus does, and envious that outsiders were able to heal like Jesus heals. Jesus teaching to welcome the lonely, Jesus hugging a child, failed to make sense at all with jealous John. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone using your name to cast out demons, but we told him to stop, because he wasn't in our group." "Don't stop him," Jesus said. "No one who performs a miracle in my name will soon be able to speak evil of me. Anyone who is not against us is for us. If anyone gives you even a cup of water because you belong to Messiah, I tell you the truth, that person will surely be rewarded. But if you cause one of these little ones who trust in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone hung around your neck. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter eternal life with only one hand than to go into the unquenchable fires of hell with two hands. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter eternal life with only one foot than to be thrown into hell with two feet. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. It's better to enter the kingdom of God with only one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the maggots never die and fire never goes out. For everyone will be tested with fire. Salt is good for seasoning, but if salt loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? You must have the qualities of salt among yourselves and live in peace with each other." God can work through anyone to fulfill God's will, to cast out demons, that is, to set people free, transform and renew them. Jesus' modeling and teaching was not being perceived by the disciples. He was getting nowhere with them. They just wouldn't listen. So I think Jesus got their attention. He uses some pretty jarring words, some pretty extreme metaphors here to finally grab their attention. Jesus urges us to renounce anything in our behavior that prevents others from following God. to renounce anything that limits our hospitality, to cut out of our life anything that keeps us from stepping closer to others in loving community. The graphic directives to cut off a hand, to gouge out an eye, to cut off a foot are not meant to be taken literally. Rather, Jesus is hoping to finally get our attention and illustrate the necessity of ridding ourselves of the things in our life that keep us from wholehearted devotion to God and loving hospitality for everyone. Jesus is exposing our excuses for failing to do what is right and our rationalization that we are serving enough. Jesus is pointing out how our desire for greatness, to be in control, to elevate ourselves above others, must be cut off. And at first, it's probably going to hurt, perhaps like losing a limb. However, we will be set free and enjoy abundant life, peace, and renewing fellowship with all people. Jesus' graphic words sharply contrast being in hell, and hell here is suffering the pain of being excluded from loving community. It is failure to love someone with heaven, that is rejoicing in being a beloved, cherished member of God's family, being in love with all people, able to love the other. Above the doorway of a church in London, a prayer has been carved into the stone. Oh God, make the door of this house wide enough to receive all who need human love and fellowship, narrow enough to shut out all envy, pride, and strife. Make its threshold smooth enough to be no stumbling block to children nor to strained feet, but rugged and strong enough to turn back the tempter's power. God, make the door of this house the gateway to thine eternal kingdom. When we strip away all our selfishness, jealousy, and desire for greatness, we see that John's complaint is absurd. That is why Jesus got so upset. It's like a firefighter being upset that someone else rescued a child from a burning building. Like a pastor being upset that a confirmation mentor helped their confirmand experience God. Like one church being upset that another church is full of worshipers. Like one mission group being upset that another group provided the needs of a hungry, hurting town. Instead of being upset, we should be inspired to greater and greater service, bolder and bolder hospitality. Jesus is not about keeping people out or in their place or establishing hierarchy in any form. Jesus is about radical hospitality that overrides all the categories of the world. A well-meaning student striving to be politically correct went to a facility for the developmentally challenged. She asked the director, "What do you call your patients? Or is clients the right word?" The director replied, "We call each of them by their first name." Pastor Patrick Wilson says, "That's the way it is in the kingdom of God. Though the world labels, categorizes, and separates people, in the gracious hospitality of the kingdom, God calls them and us by name." That distinction is important, Mark says, as important as the distinction between heaven and hell, life and death, salvation and damnation. It's that important. Fred Craddock says, "The final work of grace is to make us gracious." Christian hospitality is receiving another person as a gift of God to us. Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes a child welcomes me." Regarding those from outside our group, Jesus said, "Do not hinder them. Whoever is not against us is for us. Whoever gives a cup of water will by no means lose their reward." Jesus warned us about putting stumbling blocks before others, warned us how we can be a stumbling block to ourselves. We are to be salt, flavorful with God's love. In the time of the disciples, salt was the symbol for hospitality. We are to be at peace with all people. Jesus came preaching, teaching, and revealing our hospitable God who desires to gather all people into one loving family where all will enjoy abundant eternal life. Pastor King Omig writes, "As Jesus followers, we must allow all concerns about our own greatness to fall away and learn to accept those who might take different approaches or express their faith alternatively. Jesus said that if we lose this sharpness and fall instead into the trap of seeing the faith as our personal possession, right, or privilege, then we too will be lost. If we truly follow Jesus, we will rise above petty, sin-filled concern about who is the most important or effective or with it, and focus our attention, as Jesus did, on struggling souls who are the least among us. Person by person, soul by soul, through acts of service, words of welcome, and radical hospitality, we draw the world closer and closer and closer together, shoulder to shoulder, and we experience more and more of God through each other. A church in Colorado believes in creating common ground through common good. The members have committed to each other every year to reduce their Christmas spending in order to give generously to Charity Water, a non-religious non-profit that drills wells in Africa. This enables them to invite their non-believing friends and co-workers to partner with them in giving or ask them to give to Charity Water instead of buying them a gift. The church's giving is based on a sense of God's call. Non-believers give for humanitarian reasons. Members enjoy celebrating their accomplishments with people outside the church. They are building friendships and community. They realize that through serving and nurturing relationships, they are the ones that are blessed, and they are drawing people closer and closer to God. At Little West Park Presbyterian Church in New York City, they have extended hospitality by partnering with 40 gourmet restaurants to prepare and deliver meals to homebound people suffering from AIDS. They call the ministry God's Love. We deliver. Here at North Presbyterian, we partner with Remember Niger to educate children in Africa. One of the strengths of Remember Niger is that they truly partner with the people of Niger. We see ourselves as equals with them. We share some of our abundant financial resources. They share contagious joy, delight in learning, abundant thanksgiving for simple, modest living, and an inspiring sense of togetherness. The people of Niger are warm, friendly, and quick to welcome us. I have never heard Kara say, "We are going to minister to the people of Niger." She always says, "We are going to minister with them, as equal friends, a partnership." Everyone that I've seen that has served in Niger comes back beaming from their service to us. Together, we are stepping toward each other and seeing new facets of God. Amen.